请把眼睛轻轻的张开。
Now please open your eyes slowly.
好，诸位菩萨，很高兴今天我们第二次讲心经，又看到您出席在这里。我们上个礼拜只讲了一点点，对不对？经文只讲到度一切苦厄，就是观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。我们只讲了这一段。
Today is our second lecture on the Prajnaparamita Heart Sutra, and we're very happy to see all of you and every single one of you here today. Last week was our first lecture of the two, and we've only talked a little bit, actually. We only got as far as when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing in the deep Prajnaparamita. He perceived that all five skandhas are empty.Thereby transcending all sufferings. That's as far as we've gone to last time.
我们今天全部要结束，因为没有时间了嘛，哈，没有第三次。那我们今天要讲的是舍利子，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识，亦复如是，一直到结束。那我就不多念哈，我们就先解释一段。
And today we have to finish the rest of it because we don't have any more time. So we're going to start from Sariputra. Form is not other than emptiness, and emptiness not other than form. Form is precisely emptiness, and emptiness precisely form. And we have to go all the way to the end of the sutra. And so I'm not going to recite the rest of the text. We'll dig right in and talk about the meaning of it.
为什么讲到舍利子？舍利弗就是智慧第一的尊者，舍利弗尊者，因为他是智慧的代表。那《心经》是一部讲智慧的经典，所以以他为主基的听众。
Why do we mention Sariputra? Because Sariputra has been known for having is number one with wisdom. So because the Heart Sutra is related to wisdom and prajna.So we use him, Sariputra, as the focal point, as the audience, the main audience of this lecture.
好，我们时间很有限，所以进一步讲。舍利弗，指色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识亦复如是。这里讲到色跟受想行识，我们再复习一下，上次有讲到。色就是指身体的肉体，对不对？那受想行识是指人的精神作用，人的肉体跟精神作用都是没有永久性的，没有不变性的，没有独存性，没有自主性的，是这个意思吗？哈。
So over here we're talking about form is not other than emptiness, and emptiness not other than form.Form is precisely emptiness, and emptiness precisely form. This is related to the five skandhas, form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. And let's briefly review what we talked about last week. Form is related to the physical body, physical world. And sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness is related to the mental activities. And all of these, the five skandhas, they lack independence, they are interdependent with each other.
那色不异空，空不异色，其实就是色不离空，空不离色的意思。离跟异的意思是一样的，所以常常我们讲说，他们两个人互相离异，对不对？这样，那色即是空，空即是色的话，也就是色即空，空即色的意思。这并不是说完全等于，也是不分开的意思。譬如中国有一句成语叫做不急不离，对不对？不急不离，但这个地方是讲不离而急，就是这个意思。
So form is not other than emptiness, and emptiness not other than form. Form is precisely emptiness, and emptiness precisely form.It's talking about form does not depart from emptiness, and emptiness does not depart from form. And form is related to emptiness as well. they are not two different entities.
我们知道现象之所以会存在，就是因为是有它的无常性，对不对？所以能够存在。如果不是因为无常性，就不可能存在。也因为无常性，所以它会消失。所以有无限的可能，每一个存在都是有无限的可能，是很快就会消失，很快就会去变化。我坐在这里很端正，对不对？可是有可能我突然就会休克，有没有可能？你不能说没有啊。有没有可能有一个飞机就失事掉在我们屋顶上？也有可能啊。也可能有人突然就打枪打到我身上啊，是不是有限的可能？很可能就很快会变化，对不对？也可能等一下我一出去，哎，车子撞到我，我就不在了。所以虽然我现在这个时候很健康很好，什么情况都很好，可是可能一下就不见了。哎，这个就是无常。
So the very fact that phenomena exist in this world is precisely because of the nature of impermanence. Because of impermanence, so phenomena can exist. Those two are the same thing. The possibility is unlimited, and things change from instant to instant unpredictably. For instance, I'm sitting here right now, talking to you very upright and properly.But that doesn't exclude the possibility that something might suddenly happen to me. For instance, I may have a heart attack. So next moment I'll be gone. Or there may be a plane crash and the plane will fall on top of this building and we'll all perish. Or it's also possible that I could exit this building and the next moment I'm hit by the car and my body is no more.There are a lot of possibilities and changes, and that's referring to the impermanence of things.
这就是色不异空，或者是色即是空，对不对？我刚刚比的这个例子就是这个意思。但是空不异色，空即是色呢，也是因为是无常。无常也要换另外一种角度来看，就是因缘生，诸法因缘生，诸法因缘灭，对不对？所以是无常。所以我这个身体会存在，也是因为无常来的，对不对？因为我本来不存在嘛。无常其实还有积极性意，有它的一种分散、消除的意思。可是另外一个意思是，它有它的积极念在的，因为。没有一个固定性在，所以我本来不存在，而我可能存在。我这个身体本来不存在啊，我父母没有生下我之前，我不存在，对不对？那因为无常，就是没有这种固定我不存在的一种情况，所以我存在了嘛，对不对？这就是空不异色，空即是色。
So the example I gave you earlier about the possibility of me perishing any moment is related to form is not other than emptiness. And it's also the same for form is precisely emptiness. How about the phrase that says emptiness is not other than form? Again, this is related to the nature of impermanence of all phenomena. Because of impermanence, that's why my body can exist. Isn't it right? That previously, before my parents gave birth to me, my body did not exist. But because of impermanence, that the body can come to being, and then there is me, the person. So the issue of impermanence is related to the coming together of cause and conditions, as well as the dispersing of cause and conditions. So on the one hand, it's talking about emptiness, but on the other hand, the concept of impermanence also has a more active role. Because of impermanence, things are actually able to come to being. So it covers both spectrum of meaning.
那 肉身是一样，一切的现象，只有我们眼睛看得到的，都是这样子，这就是色。那精神体一样嘛，哦，像我刚刚讲的，受想行识，人的情绪作用、认知作用、意志作用，这些东西也都是变来变去的。感官的痛啊，或者是舒服的感觉啦，不是我好情绪、不好的情绪，不是不好不坏的情绪，或是我的理解啊，对事情的理解，或是我要采取什么行动，也都是一样，都是因为有一些情况触发我产生这样子的一种情况，而且是刹那在变异，对不对？我现在想的，哇，我好可怜啊，我身体不好，我还要在这里讲经。等一下我又想到，哎呦，我真是幸福啊，因为我身体不好，我还可以讲经。第一个念头，哎，很不舒服，很不快乐的感觉。可是另外一个念头一起来，哎，另外那个念头哪里去了？来无影，去无踪啊，对不对？他从哪里来的不知道，他去到哪里了没有？刹那因缘生灭，这个就是受想行识也是空，对不对？
So the nature of impermanence applies to form, the physical dimension, but it also applies to the mental activities. Same thing with our sensations and our cognition, our understanding of things, or our decision making, and our desire to do certain things. Those are all mental activities, and similarly,they also exhibit the nature of impermanence. They are fleeting. For instance, I'm sitting here right now, and maybe my previous thought was, oh, poor me, you know, I'm not feeling so well, yet I still have to sit here and give a lecture. But the very next moment, I could very well be thinking, whoa, I'm so lucky that even though I'm not feeling very well, I can still sit here and talk to people about Buddha Dharma. I'm very fortunate indeed.So as soon as the second thought comes up, where did the first thought gone? Where did it go? Nowhere. There's no trace of it. I couldn't find the source of it, and I don't know where it had gone to. So even our mental activities are fleeting and impermanent, and it's changing constantly.
我诸位菩萨也不会以为我讲的这个比喻是真的，我身体很好，不会以为身体不好。
Now, that was just an example. I'm actually very healthy. Don't worry.
色受想行识都是没有不变性、没有独存性、没有自主性的。
So all the five skandhas, they do not exist by itself, and it doesn't remain unchanged. It's impermanent.
这就是四诸法空相。
That's what he's talking about, referring to all phenomena are empty.
法这个字在中文 通常比较常出现的这个三个意思，就是佛法，或者指一切现象。那在心经是指五蕴，在这个时候是指五蕴，是诸法空相的法，在这个时候是指五蕴。
So the word Dharma in Buddhism usually has three different meanings. It could mean Buddha Dharma, it could mean all worldly phenomena, and also, in particularly in the Heart Sutra, it's referring to the five skandhas.
不过还是有时候有不同的意思，但是在这个时候是指五蕴。下面是说诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。不生不灭，没有不变的生，没有不变的灭，没有不会变化的不清净，因为没有不变化的不清净，所以也没有真正的清净这回事，对不对？没有增加，也不会减少什么。有智慧的时候，也并不是增加上去的哈。那没有智慧的时候，也不是就减少了，是这个意思啊。
So move on to the next phrase. This voidness of all dharma is not born, not destroyed, not impure, not pure, does not increase or decrease. It's referring to, because of impermanence, there's nothing in the world that is permanently impure. And because of that, there's nothing that's permanently pure. So there's no impurity and no purity. And same thing with wisdom. There's really not an increase or decrease of wisdom because of this impermanent nature.
当然不增不减不垢不净不生不灭也可以 apply 可以用在其他任何事情上比如说我今天赚了好多钱哦我的钱有没有增加你们觉得我有啊本来我没有钱现在银行多存了100万对不对可是这个钱是你的吗永远是你的吗不是所以事实上不会永远是你的所以不增不减
So this kind of concept can actually apply to worldly phenomena as well. For instance, maybe I used to be poor and then suddenly I gain a lot of wealth. So my deposit, my balance in the bank has increased significantly. But will this money forever belong to you? What do you think? Does it belong to you all the time?No, of course not. The money will not always belong to you. And so because of that, that's why we say it does not increase nor decrease.
如果钱永远属于你那你死了以后也可以把它带走才对对不对、
yeah. If the money will always belong to you, then that means when you die, you can take it with you, can't you?
所以不是哈这是暂时的所以不生不灭。
So it's only temporary, and that's why we say no increase and not decrease.
所以我们后来要很清楚，在这个无常生灭变化中，我们怎么样去活到最恰当、最好，把所有的我们能用的资源用到最有意义、最有价值，用的能够带走无形的，而不是带走有形的。
So, that's really interesting. Now, we need to keep a very clear mind, have clear head.Learning how to, amongst all these impermanent phenomena, how do we, use our resources and our ability to the fullest and develop to the fullest. So, disregard the things with forms, and when we are gone, we take away what, with the formless.
在心经里头就是不断的讲不执着，不执着，所以一直讲空。这里又出现啊，空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界。
And because the Heart Sutra focuses on non-attachment, so the whole focal point of this text is on emptiness.So going to the next verse, in voidness, there is no form and no sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. No eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought. There's no realm of the eye all the way up to no realm of mental cognition.
这个不难理解。讲六根空，讲六尘空，又讲六识空，所以根尘世这十八界都是空的，对不对？在这里就是讲这个意思，不是空空洞洞什么都没有，而是都是变化变异性的存在，都是靠很多很多条件聚集而存在，所以本身我们没有自主性，没有掌握力。
So this verse is perhaps not so difficult to understand. It's talking about there's no six faculties.And there are no six sensory field or six sensory object. And also there's no six consciousness. Everything is empty. And this emptiness is not referring to voidness, that there's, or nihilism, that there's nothing whatsoever. It's just referring to everything is changing instantaneously and it's impermanent. And that's what emptiness is referring to in Buddhism.
所以我们不断的讲空很好可以破很多执着
So we keep talking about emptiness and that's really wonderful because that can help us detach from all our attachments
好接下来是讲生命的现象也是空的啊刚刚是讲的那个身体身心现象是空的接下来是要讲生命的现象是空
So we are now moving on to talking about how the very nature of life, of existence, is also empty.
下面心经说到无无明亦无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得。无明就是我们之所以会流转生死的主因。
So the next verse is talking about there's no ignorance and there's no ending of ignorance. Through to no aging and death and no ending of aging and death, there's no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation of suffering, and no path. There's no wisdom or any attainment. Ignorance, over here, ignorance is talking about the main cause that we are in this cyclical cycle of life and birth.
有了无明，以后就会有十二因缘的无明行识名色六入畜受爱取有，就会有生，有生就有老死，对不对？这也就是一种祸业苦的循环。
Because there is ignorance. This is related to the 12 dependent origination. From ignorance arises intention, consciousness, name and form, and then the six sensory objects, contact, sensation. And because of ignorance, we will have desires, and then there will be grasping, and thus there's becoming, coming to existence, and the birth. This is also referring to this vicious cyclical cycle of ignorance.
为什么说无无明，没有无明，并不是说什么都不无明完全不存在，而是 无明是可以消除的，所以就称为无无明，是可以消除的，就不是不变性的存在，对不对？就是空的存在，就是会变化性的存在。
So why do we talk about no ignorance? It doesn't mean that the thing ignorance doesn't exist. Again, it's referring to ignorance itself can change. It can be do away with because it also, ignorance itself is impermanent. That's why we say no ignorance.
我这样讲到这个时候，大家会不会突然一片糊涂了？头晕的？对啊。
At this point, are you starting to get confused?
Exactly.
Exactly get confused. Why? Why? 就是不断的要讲佛教的空的意思并不是什么都不存在，而是没有不变性，没有独立性的意思。在时间来讲它没有不变性，在空间的存在来讲它没有自主性， right?所以我们常常讲我要操纵它，我要掌握它，可是不可能的，对啊，就是这样子。
So, someone said it's a little bit confusing, and so Fa Shi reiterated that in Buddhism, when we talk about emptiness, again, it doesn't mean everything does not exist. That's not what it's talking about. It's referring to all phenomena, whether it's worldly, physical, or mental phenomena. Everything is impermanent. On the spectrum of time, nothing remains unchanged. It's always changing constantly. And in terms of space, the dimension of space, nothing can exist all by itself, and nor do we have the ability to control it.
好，这里讲的无明的意思就是，也可以讲说无明空，对不对？就是无明空的意思，这样清楚吗？更清楚一点点吗？有吗？
So no ignorance is also referring to the emptiness of ignorance. So does it make it a little bit more clear?
好，那无明不是永远不变的存在，是空的存在。所以，既然无明本身就是不是真实的，有个实体在，所以也没有一个无明结束的这样子的一个实在性在。
And ignorance, because there's no fundamental existence of ignorance, it's impermanent. So because of that, there's no ending of ignorance. There isn't such an actual entity either. It's also impermanent.
这个地方给我们一个鼓舞性，一个鼓励在。 我虽然现在我烦恼很重，我无明很深，可是我有机会去除它，因为它不是永远不变的。主要的用意是在这个地方而已。
So a true understanding of all these about impermanence and about emptiness, we should have a sense of encouragement. We should feel encouraged that even though at this present moment I may be very attached to things, I may have a lot of ignorance, but because ignorance itself is impermanent, so that itself can also be changed.
所以我们应该很高兴啊，没有真正的无明。
So we should feel very cheerful and happy that there's no real ignorance.
而且除了 无明、无老死、无十二因缘这个流转的真实性以外，还无苦、无集、无灭、无道。因为无苦、无集，所以当然就引生是无灭、无道。但是在我们的阶段中呀，我们还是要去更清楚一下，哎，所谓的佛教的苦集灭道是什么意思嘛？哈。
So same thing, same logic applies. Since there's no ignorance, there's also no suffering, no cause of suffering. And because there's no suffering, no cause of suffering, so there will be no cessation of suffering and no path toward cessation of suffering.So even though we're talking about there's none of these phenomena intrinsically exist, but at our present moment, since we're still working at it, we should still try to understand the concept a little bit deeper, better. We should understand in Buddhism what it's referring to as suffering and cause of suffering.
释迦牟尼佛初转法轮，他成佛以后对五比丘他的第一批听众说法，就是讲苦集灭道，叫做四圣谛，这个大家都知道了吗？
So when Shakyamuni Buddha first attained enlightenment and at his initial turning of the Dharma wheel, first teaching, he talked to the five bhikkhus, and so his first lecture was exactly related to suffering.No cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and no path. These four are referring to as the Four Noble Truths in Buddhism. Do you all know this concept already?
知道了请举手。不知道没听过的请举手。
If you have never heard of the Four Noble Truths, please raise your hand.
大家都知道了，那太好了，那我不必在这里停留太久了。
Since you all know about it, then I don't have to dwell too long on this.
观自在菩萨进入很深的智慧的菩萨，他是这个时候是没有苦集灭道的境界，但是我们凡夫是有啦，对不对？我们还凡夫还是有苦集灭道。
So when Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara or people who have attained great ease, when they enter deep Prajna Paramita, when they are in that state.Then there will be no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation of suffering, and no path. But for us, suffering still exists, and there is still cause of suffering, no cessation of suffering, and there is still path. These four, the Four Noble Truths, still apply to us.
对观自在菩萨来讲，甚至没有智慧，也没有得到任何的东西。但是对我们来讲，我们还是有智慧可得，对不对？
So same thing for the bodhisattvas, there's no wisdom or any kind of attainment to be achieved. But for us, ordinary sentient beings, there are still wisdom to be attained.
Great bodhisattvas. Let's not have wisdom to attain, but we little bodhisattva, we need to apply, we need to pursue wisdom, right?我们小菩萨还要追求智慧，到了大菩萨八地以上菩萨，那就不用智慧了。好，我们再往下走。大菩萨、八地菩萨，他无智无德，所以无所失，对不对？无所得必然是无所失嘛，哈，没有所害怕的。依般若波罗蜜多，到了这么高的智慧现起。的时候，心中没有任何的挂碍， 因为没有任何的挂碍，所以没有任何的恐惧，能够远离所有的颠倒梦想，得到彻底究竟的涅槃。
So for great bodhisattvas, those who have already attained the eighth level of bodhisattvahood, for them, there's no wisdom to be attained. And because there's nothing to be obtained, so they don't have any sort of attachment or any kind of obstructions in their mind. And because they don't have attachment, there's nothing to fear, and they're no longer entangled in confusions and imagining, and they will ultimately reach nirvana.
这句话很好用，以无所得故，菩提萨多心无挂碍，无挂碍，无恐怖。有些人啊，在遭遇到一些环境中的困境的时候，譬如说，有人在财务上产生很大的，或者是在感情上产生很大的问题，或者是鬼神骚扰的时候，念这句很有用。
So this particular phrase, with nothing to attain, bodhisattvas relying on prajna paramita has no obstructions in their mind and no fear. This phrase is actually very practical for us. You can use it for people who are encountering great obstacles in their lives, may it be financial obstacle or relationship, or even when some people they encounter, they have.Interactions with the spiritual world and they're bothered by it. You can think about this phrase.
好，这个是我过去看到师父常常教人家念这一段话，我也常常教人家念这一段话。也有菩萨跟我说，念的真的很有用哎。
So 师父 had he used to tell people to recite this particular phrase often, and so I do the same thing to my students as well.And so there have been people reporting back saying reciting this phrase is actually very helpful in those situations.
那好，那个是有一点题外话。那我们现在说，我们众生的恐怖事情是相当多的。在佛经中说，众生常常怕的就是怕死，有死畏、不活畏、恶年畏、大众威德畏，还有生老病死、怨憎会、爱别离、求不得、五阴炽盛，都是很。
So in terms of fear, there are a lot of things as sentient beings we are fearful for. We are afraid of dying, we are afraid of sickness, we are afraid of being defamed, we are also afraid of people having bad opinions about us, and we have all these different sorts of fears.
另外像三途八难我们也怕，对不对？有没有人不怕下地狱，不怕当恶鬼，不怕当畜生的？这是三途畏。
And also, we may be afraid of going to the hell or becoming a hungry ghost or becoming an animal. Is there anyone among you who's not afraid of those things?
Very good. You are very courageous. You have confidence in yourself. Congratulations.这个八难位我想现在就不必特别再谈了，时间很有限。有这样子的境界的大菩萨能够远离一切的颠倒梦想，一切的颠错误的想法和一切的一些不自在的一种妄想都可以去除，都没有了。
So for great bodhisattvas, they're able to remove themselves from all these fears and confusion. Because they don't have confusions, they no longer feel fears or be attached to any sorts of wandering thoughts.
什么是颠倒想？其实在我们生活中，我们随时随地都在颠倒想中，是没在的。
When we talk about false thought, false wandering thought, what does it mean? Actually, for us, at any given moment, we're living in wandering false thoughts.
曾经有一个朋友，他进入五十岁的时候，他跟我说：“我真是不敢相信，真不能接受，我已经五十岁了。”这就是颠倒想哎。
I have a friend, when she had her 50th birthday, she told me, it's really hard for me to accept the fact I'm already 50. I can't believe it. Now, this very kind of thinking is a false wandering thought.
你不会这么想吗？你们有没有听人家这样想？这样讲过？有啊，有人在点头，对不对？
Have you ever heard of people talking like this? Do you think this way?
是啊，那六十、七十、八十也是啊。有的人说，我真不能接受，我已经八十岁了。
Same thing. Some people say, "Oh, I can't accept the fact I'm already 80."
这是很正常的现象嘛，哈，很自然的一种 natural 的这一种 role。可是为什么不接受呢？奇怪。那有的人说 Happy Birthday， 那有什么好 happy 的 ？One year closer to death
。So it's merely a natural progression. What is there to be unbelievable about, and what is there to be not accepting of? And so when people say Happy Birthday, what's there to be so happy about? You're one year closer to death.
所以我们的电脑想是随时随地处处都在的，是不是？只要感觉到有情绪的起伏，就是因为有颠倒想在，才会引起情绪啊。
So these false wandering thoughts are everywhere. It's occurring every moment of our life. As long as you have emotional up and downs, that's because it's a function of these wandering thoughts.
还有人在被人家讲他的时候，人家说他怎么样，他说。我就是这样子啊，我一向就是这个样子啊，我不能改啊。
So some other times, if they hear people talking about them, you know, that you do things this way or that way, they will reply, "Well, that's just the way I am. You know, I can't be changed."
这也是颠倒想，对不对
？And that's also a false wandering thought.
哪有不能改的事情嘛？哈
，There's no such thing as unchangeable.
还有人告诉我说啊。我知道自己的缺点，可是我不想改。
There are some other people say, "I know I have flaws, but I don't want to change."
哎，真的嘞，真的有人就这样告诉我嘞。他知道他自己问题很多，但是他都没有意愿要改，等到他成果再改好了。
There really are such people among you here that someone has told me that before. That I know I have a lot of flaws, but I don't want to change.I guess that person would simply have to wait till he or she attained Buddhahood to make all these changes.
这也是颠倒想的哈、哦，所以我们凡夫想一想，我们自己有没有颠倒想？别人有很多颠倒想，我们跟他们差不多啦。
So we should reflect within. You know, a lot of people have wandering thoughts, other people, but do we also have a lot of false thoughts as well?
虽然有时候问题不太一样，有时候其实是一样，只是在不同的时候发生。其实我们的 label 都差不多，所以我们自己问题也很多。
So even though the problems may sometimes appear to be different or they happen at different times in life, but we all basically have pretty similar problems and our levels are all about at the same level.
我们学佛或者信仰宗教的好处就是，常常告诉我们我们有很多缺点，所以我们就比较能改嘛，哈。
The benefit of learning Buddha Dharma is that we become aware of our flaws, and because of this awareness, that we're able to make changes.
好，太好了。改到最后智慧很高的时候，这些全部去除，那就可以究竟涅槃。
So that's actually really encouraging and wonderful that we're able to make all these changes and improvement. So as we shed away all these flaws and bad habits, and gradually we'll be able to attain ultimate wisdom.
究竟涅槃就是彻底圆满的清净，没有留下任何的烦恼、污垢的余痕。
So the ultimate wisdom is ultimate purity, and there's no traces of any confusions or any flaws.
以小乘佛教来讲，小乘佛教就是自求了脱生死的这种根性跟人啊，啊，就是小乘佛教。那他证悟的最高果位是阿罗汉，阿罗汉他成就阿罗汉的这个 arhatship 的时候，他自己会知道，他会说：“我生已尽，犯行已立，所作已办，自知不受后有。”
So for people who follow Theravada Buddhism. what they seek is personal liberation. And so the goal is to free themselves from the cycles of life and birth. And the highest level one can attain for that track is arhatship. And so when a person has achieved arhatship, this person will know himself or herself and will say, 此生不断。
我生已尽，我的 life cycle 已经 break.
I have already be free from life cycles and my practice is all complete. And everything I need to do is already completed and there will be no follow-up cycles and further
rebirth. Rebirth, thank you. 我这里所说的小圣并不是指那个地区，就是南传佛教地区跟北传佛教地区这种区域的分别，而心态，每个修行者的心态上的问题。
So when I talk about Theravada Buddhism, I'm not referring to original difference of the south side or the north side. It's referring to the mentality of each individual practitioner.
可能这个地方不能讲到 Theravada， 是 Theravada 这个 tradition， 就是只是讲心境上一种就是 narrow-minded, or how to say that? It's hard to translate this term. Very hard.
So when we talk about small vehicle, maybe the word Theravada is not a good translation because that has more regional references. So small vehicle is referring to people's mentality of being more focused on oneself. It's actually rather difficult to translate.
好。如果是以大乘佛教来讲，大乘佛教就是一开始修行就是以利人为利己，作为利己的手段的这种佛教徒叫做大乘佛教。
And on the other hand, there's the great vehicle. And for people who has the kind of mentality to practice a great vehicle Buddhism, the initial mind is to help other people. And through helping other people.One benefits and reach completion themselves.
大乘佛教的修行者就是菩萨行者，当他进到第八地的时候，就称为不动地。不动地主要就是他不动智慧，他的修行的成果还是自己在生进，主要是这个意思。
So people who follow the Great Vehicle School, they are following the Bodhisattva path. And as they progress, they will reach the eighth stage. And the eighth stage is called the unmoving stage. And what is unmoved in the stage? It's the wisdom that doesn't move. Even though their practice itself still continues to progress, but their mind, they don't need to resort to the so-called wisdom anymore.
不过这个诸位菩萨可能听听就好了，不必特别去记它。反正就是知道，在第八地的大菩萨的境界呢，它是自然没有烦恼，也不必动智慧，但是它一直在进步，称为不动，或者是称为无功用的一种境界。
So you don't have to try really hard to memorize all these. Just use it as a reference. So you know that for people reaching the A stage. That they no longer have to activate their wisdom, yet at the same time their Buddhist practice continues on.
这个就是观自在菩萨的境界。
Is that the eighth booming?
Yes, the eighth booming, right. 这里有一点像，譬如说帆船刚把它送下水的时候，在浅滩的地方，我们可能要用力去把它推。把它推到比较深海的地方，当深推到一定的水位的水深的时候，我们根本就不必再推了，只要有风把帆张起来，什么事都可以做，自然有风送着它一直跑，对不对？
So it's as if we are going sailing. Initially, you have to exert effort and push the boat into the water, and then maybe you have to row the boat initially.But once you reach certain depth, and as long as there's a wind, then the boat will sail smoothly by itself.
飞机也是一样嘛，在还没飞到一定高度的时候，飞行员还要去操纵它。可是当到了一个高度以后，它机器按钮一按，它没事做，飞机自己飞了。
Same thing with flying an airplane. So initially, there needs to be a lot of energy, and there needs to be conscious attention to controlling the path of the flight. But once you reach certain altitude, then that's no longer necessary. You just push the autopilot button and everything will move ahead.
Yeah, 这个就是修行到八地以后就是这样子，很轻松那个时候，而且进步得很快。
So that's what it feels like once you reach the eighth stage, the eighth bhumi, that everything becomes effortless and yet you are able to progress really quickly.
但是到那个时候就已经到了必须是这个程度，对不对？照见五蕴皆空，而且是无无明，亦无无明尽，无智亦无德，到那个程度才有办法。
But at the same time, at that stage, you have to be able to perceive that all five skandhas are empty, and then realize that there is no ignorance and no ending of ignorance.
在大乘佛教来讲，我们要达到这个程度，要经过三大阿僧祇劫，到底有多久，算不清楚的久。
So, according to the Great Vehicle School,
成佛了，成佛要三大阿僧祇劫。
In order to reach that stage, you need to, the time in between has to be three great asankhikas. It means a very, very long, long time to reach Buddha.
以一般来讲，说是到第八地要经过两大阿僧祇劫。
Usually to reach the eighth bhumi, the eighth stage,You need to at least go through two great asankhita, a very, very inordinate amount of time.
如果成阿罗汉就比较快了，就快太多太多了。
It's much faster to become an arhat.
但是成阿罗汉好还是成菩萨好？当然是成菩萨好，对不对？为什么呢？
But which one is better, to become an arhat or to become a bodhisattva? Of course a bodhisattva, right? But why?
为什么呢？因为如果成了阿罗汉以后，他虽然自己不会在生死中受苦恼，不会流转生死，他没有苦，他是一直在一种超越苦乐的一个状态的一种超越性的更高的快乐中。可是他对于度众生来讲，他没有作用，没有作用了。
Why do we say that? Because for arhat.They no longer experience suffering. They don't have vexations relating to life, living life and death. At the same time, even though they're able to attain personal liberation, they no longer serve any function to the sentient beings. They cannot help other sentient beings.
可是菩萨就不一样了。菩萨是他的功修行的功夫越高的话，他的作用越大。一直到成佛为止，它的作用是更大。
Yeah. But that's not the case with bodhisattvas. For bodhisattvas, the higher attainment they have achieved, the more powerful they become, and more sentient beings they're able to reach out to.
Do arhats stay arhats forever, or can they become Buddhas?
在像《法华经》啊，《法华经》的经文就认为说，没有阿罗汉会永远停留在那个状态，他一定会转成。菩萨，可是既然他过去长久以来都是那种心态，而且已经到了那么高的一种境界，要转很难 ，very difficult。
所以刚刚的问题是说，阿罗汉是不是永久是阿罗汉，还是说他们也会转成菩萨？So the answer for that was, in the Lotus Sutra, it talks about even for arhats, it's not possible for them to forever stay as an arhat.However, because of the past habitual pattern and the way of thinking, it will be very difficult for them to transcend from arhat into bodhisattvas.
Right, 所以其实在修行啊比较坏，比较直截了当，比较没有转弯，没有那么多的弯曲的，是一开始就是发菩提心的，一直都是以利人为利他的手段。这个才是真正的康庄达，才是真正最快的方法。
So actually, the most direct route in cultivation is to initially to start out having Bodhi mind and trying to benefit sentient beings, and through which one benefits itself. That's more most direct without any detours.
而且这种修行法是一开始就跟相空相应的。空的意思就是我们跟所有人都是连结的，所有众生都是连结的，是不是？ Okay.
And so this way of practice, this mentality of having a Bodhi mind, Bodhicitta, is actually beneficial because even from the very start, your mentality is already corresponding to the concept of emptiness, of impermanence, that nothing is independent, everything is interconnected. Because you have this will to help sentient beings, you understand intrinsically this interconnectedness.
那这个是很重要的一个佛教的意思，所以顺便介绍一下。
So this is a very important concept in Buddhism.
也因为菩萨一开始就是心量比较大，比较想要比较慈悲，要帮助众生，所以在佛像画中画菩萨都画得很庄严，对不对？那阿罗汉因为比较没有想到去慈悲众生，去利益众生，比较想要独修，所以他的相貌就比较不庄严，对不对？他的奇形怪状的样子比较多一点。
And perhaps because of that, because Bodhisattvas initially they want to reach out to all sentient beings, so in Buddhist art, oftentimes they're portrayed as having really awesome figures and a beauty or something really awe-inspiring. But on the other hand, the figures, the statues of arhats tend to be a little bit, sometimes they look a little strange and kind of funky.
在中国有一句话说，有人有这样子的讲法说，人在四十岁以前的相貌是父母决定，四十岁以后是自己决定，你们相信吗？
There's a Chinese saying that before you turn 40, your appearance is determined by genetics, by your parents. But after 40, your appearance is determined by your own action and your own mentality. Do you accept this kind of thinking?
我是既相信又不相信。为什么呢？相信是我们的相貌随着自己的心境、自己的心量会改变，但是不一定是要到40岁以后作为一个标准。其实随时都在变的，是很小的小孩也是随时变的，就是很老的人也是随时变的，没有说以四十岁为标准。
So,
但是你进度越大的话，那个波越相应。
在我十来年前吧，我在1992年的时候来美国，印第人，我在回去的时候，我很惊讶的发现到，有几个师兄弟的相貌变得很多。我们僧团中的师兄弟，他们大概是30岁左右而已。
So I partially believe in the statement and I partially don't. I do believe that our look, our facial expression, our appearance is determined by the way that we think. And the more open we become, the better looking one a person can become.And so someone else said, but as you get older, don't you usually attain more wisdom and you will look better? And Fa Shi said, well, back when I came here in 1992, and I stayed here for about a year, and then after I went back to Taiwan, I was actually very surprised to see quite a few of my Dharma brothers. They have changed a lot over only 1 year period.And for those people, they haven't even reached 40 yet. You know, they're only in their 30s. So their looks are already changing depending on the way they're thinking.
台湾曾经有一个大居士，他在修行佛法很用心、很稳定的时候，他的相貌是很庄严的。可是当有一段时间，他出了一个问题，那时候台湾的媒体界。在伤害他，他面临很大压力的时候，我看到他，我那时候不知道他有那个问题，觉得这个人怎么变得那么难看呢、啊？那个相貌感觉怎么会跟过去那么不一样啊？是一很烦恼、问题很大的那个人的样子，很奇怪。 后来我才知道，哦，原来他面对很大很大的压力。
So there once was a really great cultivator in Taiwan, and for a long period of time, this person's practice was very stable and was on the right track. So this person's appearance was really upright and it inspires awe from people. But then later on, for a period of time, this person was undergoing some kind of scandal. It was greatly attacked by the media. And I didn't know this was happening at that time. I simply saw this person, and then I was wondering to myself, you know, what happened to this person? His look changed a lot, and he looks like he's under great vexation. And then later on, I found out that what was going on with this person's life.
是啊，是相貌随时变的，可能你今天跟明天的相貌都不一样了，有可能啊，对不对？Yeah, 当你放松的时候，心情一放松，那个相貌就是松的，就是很轻的。哎，当你紧张起来的时候，那个相貌就是不一样，就是不是很好看。人家马上就感觉到，虽然不必跟你讲话，可是人家就是感受得到的。
So our looks are actually changing instantaneously, moment by moment. Even when you feel relaxed, then your facial features are all relaxed and you seem peaceful.And then when you're tense, then you look the opposite, tense and tight. It reflects immediately.
连婴儿连小孩都可以看得出来，都可以感受得到。你们相不相信？是这个样的。其实婴儿小孩是最敏感的，所以婴儿跟小孩很奇怪，他们就是喜欢接触一些很慈悲、很善良、很有爱心的人。虽然他们才一接触，哎，自然就是这样的反应。
So even infants and young children are able to perceive the difference really quickly. Actually, they are probably the most astute. That's why children and infants, they tend to like to interact with people who are very compassionate and kind and relaxed.
我们给人的感受，人家跟我们亲近的时候的那一种感觉，这个跟修行有关，对不对？所以这个还是要提嘛，
And this is all related to our cultivation, and that's what we're talking about it, the way we make other people feel when we interact with them.
好，所以我们如果自我中心越重，越想到自己问题的时候就越不开朗。那如果自我中心越小，越跟佛法相应，跟心经相应的话，就会越 relax, 越轻松。那人家就会越喜欢跟我们在一起。我们跟人家接触就是在做布施工作，给人家欢喜，或者给人家其他的东西，都比较容易。
So, the more we're attached to our own ego, the more egocentric we are, the more close off we are, and that making our appearance look more tense. But the more we're able to let go and have less ego, and correspond more with Buddha Dharma, the more relaxed we can become.In that case, whenever we're interacting with the other people, in fact, we are also practicing making offering. We are offering people happiness, and it will be easier to reach out and benefit sentient beings that way.
我们刚刚是讲到菩萨依般若波罗蜜多心无挂碍，无挂碍，无恐怖，对不对？远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。那再下去说佛。过去、现在、未来这三世所有的佛，也都是因为般若波罗蜜多的关系得阿努塔拉三藐三菩提。我这个般若波罗蜜多还要更高级一点，对不对？
So we were just talking about the phrase about nothing to attain and no fear, no confusion. And so moving on.So all past, present, and future Buddhas, relying on Prajnaparamita, attain Anuttara Samyasambodhi. That means Anuttara Samyasambodhi is a little bit more advanced than just Prajnaparamita, right?
Then the Prajnaparamita Bodhisattva, Bhumi, attained, because this is the Buddha's Prajnaparamita.因为你八地以上到九地、十地，然后再到佛地嘛，对不对？等觉、妙觉、十地还有等觉地、妙觉地，所以当然三世诸佛的
智慧还更高。那这个啊，Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi 就是究竟圆满的佛果，就是无上正等正觉。
So Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi is referring to the ultimate attainment achieved by Buddhas of three times, the past, present, and future. It's the most ultimate and most complete type of attainment.
所以真的空的智慧非常重要。
And that's why we said that having the wisdom of emptiness is extremely crucial in practice.
但是智慧跟慈悲是互相增长，互为因果的。佛为什么会成佛？其实是因为他很慈悲的关系。
At the same time, wisdom and compassion, those two simultaneously interact with each other, and they are developed simultaneously at the same time, same pace. Why does the Buddha have so much wisdom, has complete wisdom? That's because he's extremely compassionate.
释迦牟尼佛他成佛以后，他成佛是在2000多年前，那我们现在还有佛法，为什么？因为他弘法，他如果自私的话，他不必弘法，他成佛以后，成道以后，他自己享受他成佛的境界就好，他为什么要那么辛苦到处走在恒河两岸的东西老是在走，他刚证阿罗哎，不是证阿罗汉，正佛道的时候，他就走了大概50多公里耶，50多公里才去看到五比丘哎，才去替他们说法哎。那个时候没有交通工具嘛，交通工具很少，不知道他走了多久，爬山的越岭啊，走乡下乡间小道，走了50多公里，就去找他过去修行的同伴，真是慈悲啊。
So Buddha reached his enlightenment about 2000 years ago.And that was such a long time ago. Why are we still able to hear Buddha Dharma? And that's because of Buddha's compassion. Right after he reached enlightenment, he could very well just go on and enjoy his own liberation and freedom. Why did he have to go through all the trouble and the toil to teach us? Because, again, he's really compassionate. After he reached enlightenment,He actually walked over 50 kilometers. And that time, remember, there was no public transportation or anything like that. He had to walk. So maybe he went through a lot of difficulties and finally reaching Deer Park and reaching the 5 months and to start his first teaching. And then throughout his life, he walked around and spread the Dharma to many, many people. That's all because of his compassion.
那释迦牟尼佛他修行菩萨道是大圣行者，所以他成佛。那我们要跟他学，他从过去是就是一直以众生为念，想要帮助众生解脱的生死的苦难，生死中所有的苦难，就是最后一生他当太子的时候也是一样保持这样的心。那也因为他这样子的一种慈悲心或者是说菩提心，一直给他一种 power， 给他力量，一直作为前导，他前导，这有一点像是一块磁，它有一条磁力线，因为它有这种慈悲，它自然就是产生一种无形的磁力线，不断的把它拉回正道，拉回正途，而且不断的推着它往前进。
And for a limited number of pastime, the Buddha had been practicing the Bodhisattva path. He had this great compassion to help all sentient beings liberated from their own sufferings. And because he had this compassion, this great vow, it sort of served as his power and motivation, as well as a guiding force in his many lives of practice. It's almost like there's a magnet or some kind of magnetic field. Whenever he tried to go astray, this magnetic field would guide him back onto the right path.That's the power of having this body mind.
And also push him to go faster. Yeah, push him to be, to be diligent, right? Yeah. 就是一直这样子，就是这个菩提心，这个慈悲心很强，
真的很真实，所以他能够成佛。那我们也要学这个。如果没有菩提心，没有这种对众生的生老病死，还有生老病死中的苦难的这种慈悲心，就没有那个慈力线可以永远把你拉回来，永远可以帮助你。那有这种慈悲心的人，他自然就是知道，他自然也会有自信心，很奇妙的。
And so because of this Bodhi mind the Buddha had, he was able to stay on the right track and diligently practice and keep moving forward. And that's exactly what we have to learn from him. We should also have this compassion, have this Bodhi mind to help sentient beings alleviate from their sufferings of life and death.
是发菩提心，真的是圣严师父不断的强调啊，这是我们的救命的救生圈呢，在上大海救命的一个最重要的一个因素。如果没有发菩提心，这个动机不存在，修行也很难成就的。所以我们要赶快发菩提心，而且要不断的保有它，不要忘失，并且要加强它，强化它。
And interestingly, having this great compassion, this Bodhi mind.Also helps us to develop our own confidence, having this guiding force. And this is a point that Shifu has repeatedly emphasized, that we need to have proper Bodhi mind, without which our cultivation cannot flourish properly.
好，那越想帮助众生，对我们的智慧越高，而且我们的自我执着就是会越少，越空，跟空相应，越进入心经的境界。
The more, the stronger of compassion and of a Bodhi mind that we have, we will naturally have less self-ego. And Shifu referred to the Bodhi mind as the life raft in a vast ocean of suffering. That as long as we have Bodhi mind, we will have confidence to move forward.
所以后来，最后心经的一段是说，故知般若波罗蜜多即说，故说般若波罗蜜多即说咒曰，揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛，菩提萨婆诃。故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无上咒。为什么讲心经讲的空，这却需要讲咒？这什么原因呢？我要解释一下。
So, toward the bottom, it's saying, therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is the great mantra of power, the great mantra of wisdom, the supreme mantra, the unequal mantra, which is able to remove all sufferings. It is real and not false. But why is that that we're talking about the Heart Sutra, which is the sutra about emptiness? Why do we have to talk about mantras?
其实以印顺老法师的研究，到比较早期的经典啊，早期的这个心经是没有这个咒的，这是后来加进去的。但是因为时代的关系啊，什么关系呢？就是因为佛教是流传在印度的背景中嘛，那印度人相当的相信咒语，认为咒有非常大的作用。那随着佛教流行的地区呢，就是咒语很盛行的地方，所以佛教也用一些咒语，也重视到咒语的效用，也常常跟咒语有些结合。
So according to Master Ying Shun's research, he said earlier version of the Heart Sutra actually did not have this part about mantras, but Buddhism was developed in India, and at that time Indian people had a strong belief in the power of mantras, and because Buddhism was taught in areas where people emphasize the power of mantras, so Buddhism also used some mantras in the teaching.
因为印度人，特别是印度教徒，认为诵咒可以解决人力所不能解决的一些困难，所以他们凡是求福、求息灾，或者是希望别人得到利益或者损害别人，有一些恶咒给他们都是咒。
At that time, a lot of Indian people believed that reciting mantra can help us remove obstacles. So whatever is not within human power, such as giving blessings or removing sicknesses, or giving people good things, or even at times cursing other people. They revert to reciting mantras.
那心咒语是非常的多，那效力大小也不一样。那这个地方啊，是因为《大般若经》就有这样子的比喻啊，把咒语比喻为，把《大般若经》比喻为咒王，意思就是赞叹《般若经》的功德。般若经是一切法门之王的意思。
So there are many, many different kinds of mantras. Some are more powerful, some are less powerful. But in the sutra, it's often talked about the Prajna Sutras is the king of all mantras.
好，那大神咒的意思就是很神妙的，有不可以思议的作用的一种咒。大明咒就是能去除我们的无明，无明就会没有智慧嘛，这是一种暗，无明的黑暗的咒，是无上咒，就是无与伦比最高的咒的意思。那无等等咒是什么意思呢？无等法就是涅槃法，那无跟无等相等的就是跟涅槃相同作用的法，也就是可以得到不生不灭这个境界的咒语。
So, what we talk about, the great mantra is referring to it has immense amount of power. And the mantra of wisdom is to help us to develop the wisdom to remove all attachment and to remove ignorance. It's also a supreme mantra and unequal mantra. Unequal is referring to the nirvana, the ultimate attainment, which is free from all kinds of sufferings.
Oh.这个是比喻，心经有这个作用哈。
These are analogies of the power of the Heart Sutra，
就是空这个法门有这个作用。金刚经一直讲空，大般若经也是讲空，心经一直讲空，这个是般若系统的经典哈。
And so that's the power of having prajna.Heart Sutra, as well as the Diamond Sutra and the Great Prajna Sutra, they all belong to this school, and they expounded on the concept of emptiness.
最后这个是说 gathe gathe para gathe para sang gathe bolishbaha。如果要讲成白话文，就是去吧，去吧，到彼岸去吧，大家都去吧，快速成就正觉。这是一种祝福，也是一种祈祷的话。
So the final part says Gate Gate Para Gate Para Sangate Bodhisvaha. It's, if we translate it into modern language, it's talking about go forth, and go reach the other shore. Let us all go and quickly attain the supreme enlightenment. That's what it's referring to in modern language.
So, 大乘佛教徒随时希望别人好，对不对？我们虽然希望自己好，但是也有那种心态，希望别人比我们更好，所以也希望众生赶快去成佛，每一个众生都赶快去成佛。最后我自己再成佛没有关系，我帮助大家先成佛，大家都比我好，我最后一定会跟上去的。
So that's the mentality of people who practice the Great Vehicle Buddhism that, we wish everybody attain liberation. Everybody can live blissfully and happily. So go ahead, everybody, go ahead and let's all attain Buddhahood. It's okay that maybe I will be the last person, but I don't worry about that. And as long as everybody can be free, I'm sure that I can catch up as well.
说到这里，心经已经讲完了，那时间控制的还不错，剩下十分钟。是这样，十分钟，你们要我做什么？要 Q&A 还是继续讲
？So we're all done, and we have done pretty good with controlling the time. And we have 10 more minutes. What would you like to do? Q&A, or you want me to talk more?
You want me to talk more? 哇，这边有人要问问题吗
？Some questions.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
You said some about. Samyak Sambodhi was higher than Prajnaparamita. And is, so is Nirvana and Samyaksambodhi the same?
Prajna Paramita 有两个意思，在过程中也叫过程中，我们就在修行中就有空，就常常跟空相应，这也叫做般若，就是 Prajna， 那 Prajna Paramita yet Prajna， 但是在果也叫般若，但是那个时候就是 Prajna Paramita， 那也用另外一个名字叫 Bodhi， Prajna。Prajna Paramita is also Bodhi.
So the question was, did you all hear the question in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, the question was, earlier Fashi talked about Anuttara Samyasambodhi as being higher than Prajna Paramita, so does it mean Anuttara Samyasambodhi is the same as Nirvana? And so the explanation is,Prajna Paramita actually contains two levels of meaning. So when we are practicing Buddhism, when we are cultivating, we apply the concept of impermanence, of emptiness. That is called Prajna, but that is at the level of cause. And at the other level, once we reach the fruit, the result, then it becomes Prajna Paramita.And it's also the same as another common term, Bodhi. So it's a concept that we use in practice as well as a result that we can attain.
我刚刚为什么会特别那样提了一下，是因为八力以上的菩萨是依般若波罗蜜多故得到究竟涅槃，对不对？那佛也是因为依般若波罗蜜多故得到阿耨他那三藐三菩提，对，成佛的。那为什么都两种状况，八地跟佛地不一样啊？为什么都说是般若波罗蜜多呢？以佛教的修行，八地跟阿罗汉这个小圣来讲，算是已经彻底的境界是一样的。这个譬如说，我的水，这个本来是有烦恼啊，有无明有很多问题的水，我把它倒光了，就是我们凡夫倒光的时候。称为八地，已经究竟涅槃了，倒光了嘛，具足干净了。那跟佛又有什么不一样？来，你先翻译。
So why did I make that point earlier about Prajna Paramita and Prajna Sambodhi? Actually, for Bodhisattvas reaching the eighth bhumi as well as Arahats, they are already rid of, they already get rid of all their delusions and ignorance.It's as if I'm a mug here and that I empty all the water and...
三毒的水，一众生的三毒。
You empty all the water of the three poison, you know, your ignorance, your anger, and
attachment,
greed. So you empty this water and you reach...这个时候是得到
这个时候是八地。
That's the state of the eighth bhumi or arhat.
可是佛地的时候是这个水，这个杯子，我把它倒光以后，它还有没有一些水滴跟水蒸气在？
有，
对不对？那我把这个水滴跟水蒸气完全都晾干了，也许我用吹风机把它吹干，或者太阳下把它晒干，到等连水滴都跟水蒸气都不在的时候。那个时候叫成佛了。
But so for the eight bhumi bodhisattvas and arhats, if they're already able to empty all the water, how is it different than Buddha, who has attained Anuttara Samyaksambodhi? So the difference is, after I empty the water inside the mug, isn't there still some kind of vapor of the water, or you know, there's some residual water, drops of water in the mug? Yes.So for Buddha, it's as if I put it out in the sun or using a hair dryer to blow dry this mug, so all traces of water is completely gone.
是啊，可是我水倒光的时候，你不能说我还有水啊，对不对？因为我倒光了嘛，对不对？这个就是八力菩萨的，这个叫菩萨依般若波罗蜜多故得究竟涅槃，对不对？呀，可是佛的时候那时候更清楚了，所以我说这个。 波罗蜜多还要更高级一点的，因为水蒸气水力都光的嘛，哈，所以还是有一点点不同。
So there's still a slight difference, you know, between emptying all the water and having absolutely no trace of moisture.
可是在八地的时候已经非常高了，已经非常接近成佛的境界，八地菩萨就可以现佛身，度众生了。
But actually, the eighth bhumi is already really, really, really high attainment. For the eighth bhumi bodhisattvas, they are already able to manifest the appearance of a Buddha.
他要现佛身就可以现佛身，虽然他还是八地，他可以现很多很多身，到处去度众生，非常高的境界。
They're able to manifest all kinds of appearances, the Buddha's look or all kinds of.Manifestation in order to deliver sentient beings.
听这个离我们还很远哈，不过没有关系。这好像是家里有些什么珍珠、玛瑙、翡翠、钻石，把它拿出来看一看。虽然现在还不是我的，等以后爸爸过世以后，可能有一点我会得到，对不对？
So talking about this kind of attainment is still very, very far away from us. It's as if we have some kind of emerald, rubies, and jewels at home. That we just take it out once in a while and take a look. They don't belong to us yet. And once my father passed away, then all these jewels will become mine.
不过这个修行是要自己修了，不是爸爸给的，就是。
But the difference is when you're cultivating, everything has to be done by ourselves.
好，
Just one quick question.
Yes.
There are 10 bhumis altogether. Is that correct, A? And B, is Anuttara Samyaksambodhi is the 10th bhumi, correct? Doesn't that mean ultimate attainment? Anuttara Samyaksambodhi, that's what I've heard. And that's to be a fully-fledged Buddha, a real...
There are different sutras and different ideas.
Right.
Yeah, that again is very hard for us to really know so clearly because yeah, it's so far away from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
他这个问题是说。有一种说法是说实地就算普就算成佛了，可是也有一种是等爵位，就是十一地，也不叫就是实地以上还有等爵位，还有妙爵位。有人说有的经典是等爵位跟妙爵位是一样的，可是有一种字不一样，等爵位跟妙爵位是不一样，实地以上还有等爵位妙爵。他问我说，哎，到底哪一种是能正确？我说。我们不知道，因为这个经典有这样子的不同的讲法，但是距离我们这个程度实在太远太远了，我们没有办法去判断哪一个经讲的才是对的，只能说由此一说。OK， yeah， 好，还有吗？还有问题吗？好，还有一个问题。
好，有，我想说，请问，他那个讲说，那个观世菩萨行深般若到一个相当的功力的时候，他照见普印界光。那他说照见诸法空相，过来讲说无明一切无明尽道一无老苦老死尽，一切都讲，是先破掉执着。
对，没错，就是破执着。
先执着破掉再讲无。
讲无就是要破我们的执着。
就是先破掉执着。
他已经有那个境界了，那我们没有啊。我们就是要知道那个境界，但是又去靠近它。我们先从头脑里面慢慢去理解，然后真正的有一天彻底，因为这样子的一种 concept 引导我们彻底体验到了，我真的没有执着，不只是我了解而已。
So the Heart Sutra talks about this.Practitioner just recited the whole sutra and saying everything is talking about no ignorance and know this and know that. What is the purpose? It's really trying to help us break away from our attachment. And the answer is yes. No, that's conceptually it helps us break away from each of our attachment layer by layer. And ultimately, once we are able to break away from all these attachment, it no longer is a conceptual understanding. It becomes a true experience.
这个会有什么不一样？从头脑里去理解，跟真正体验到无我不一样。从头脑理解无我也是有帮助，不是没有帮助，非常有帮助，而且。
So what's the difference between conceptual understanding and experiential understanding? Even if it's only conceptually understanding there's no self and no, nothing is permanent, it's already very, very helpful. So don't overlook it.
这个我刚刚讲到，一种是观念上的知道无我，跟彻底的体验到无我境界是很不一样的。譬如说，我知道，像我们常常是这样子，我知道巧克力糖，巧克力糖对我的身体不好，我知道，可是我很爱吃，因为我每天都吃，我从小到大就是喜欢吃巧克力糖，我知道了，可是我还是要吃，对不对？那如果说我真正的知道巧克力糖不好，我真的戒绝了它，这个是很不一样的，对不对？对，知道跟做到不一样。可是这个比喻也不是真的那么好啦，不是真的非常恰当的。
So again, what's the difference between conceptual understanding and experiential? I have an analogy here, even though it may not be that fully explained the difference. For example, I love chocolate, and every day I need to eat chocolate, and I know that maybe eating too much chocolate is not good for me. I know it conceptually, but I'm not able to change it. Versus when you experientially know that chocolate is not good for you, then you will naturally just quit eating so much chocolate. You know, it's sort of touch upon this issue, but even though it may not be that, that good of an analogy.
我这个也是可以再讲，譬如说我很爱吃巧克力糖啊，但是因为我知道巧克力糖对我不好，所以慢慢减，慢慢减量，对不对？这个就是我知道无我，所以对我的执着，对一切的执着，人事物的执着慢慢减轻，就好像我对巧克力糖的执着在减量，减量到最后我没有任何执着，我不吃它了，我真的知道我没有执着了。那时候我体验到，那我知道我可以去想象，有人现在把我杀掉，我会不会取烦恼？任何一个状况把我做最严重的一种侮辱、虐待、受苦，我会不会起烦恼？我去操作我的心，真正不会，彻底不会，用各种状况去操作，都不会。那真的就是体验到无我了，真正体验到，而不是是观念而已。
But we can also apply this kind of concept to our everyday practice. So even if we only have conceptual understanding of eating chocolate is not good for you, but maybe having this concept will help you gradually decrease your daily intake of chocolate. So same thing, knowing that there's no self, nothing is permanent, that we can gradually decrease and do away with our attachment and our egocentrism.One day you're really able to not eat any chocolate and really not care if anyone brings you any sort of bodily harm. Then that's when you truly experientially understand chocolate is not good for me, or understand the concept of no self and impermanence.
或者是自己可以去想象自己过去最喜欢的，比如食啊、色啊，或是任何的东西，自己过去是最执着的。或者任何人自己是最爱或者最恨的去操作，是不是真正能够没有任何的情绪，没有任何的波动？那时候可能自己就可以知道，自己是不是真的无我的。
You can try this out yourself. Think about all the objects that you're very fond of, or someone who you really love, and you can test yourself to see if you recall these.Images, these objects, and really, if you are able to have no emotion attached to it, then that's a true test, true proof of you experientially understanding the concept of no self.
这个是在修行到很高的境界的人，他的操作是正确的。那凡夫，你说我来操作看看，自己骗自己说，我无我了，我可能很难讲。
That's usually for people who have reached really high attainment. And as for us ordinary sentient beings, sometimes we fool ourselves that you test this out and then you fool yourself by saying, I don't have self-attachment. But whether it's true or not, it's still a way to see.
不是那么简单，人就是一直觉得有一个我，就是很多人问我，就是 佛经中是众生愚痴以疾苦为乐，我们就是这么愚痴，有什么办法？
And it's really difficult to break away from the concept of self, that we are so attached to it and we take that as bliss instead of suffering, and that's our intrinsic attachment.
还有以无我为我吗？对不对？
We take this, the concept of no self as having a real self, and that's also our false understanding.
学佛真不容易，不过真幸福，还有佛可以学。
It's not easy to learn Buddhism, but at the same time, don't you feel we're all really blessed to be able to learn about Buddha Dharma?
我很想再继续讲下去，我还有很重要的信息要给大家，可是有人希望我赶快下台，我们才会快十分钟的。
我请教法师，因为我不管武功，我请教法师可以再讲十分钟。
我还可以继续讲，你要请教问题吗？
不是。I really would love to continue on, but it seems like I really need to wrap up because we need to do lunch offering.
我还可以讲吗？我还可以讲吗？昨天我们有一个菩萨坐在这里，他跟我说，佛教徒讲智慧。可是有的人呢、啊，有人刚好家里有人往生，突然往生，最亲爱的人往生，那每一个佛教徒都跟他说：“哎呀，无常啦，你要接受。”可是基督徒就不一样了，基督徒就会去拍拍他，去拥抱他，去亲他，去鼓舞他，去陪伴他。哎，还是基督徒比较温暖一点。
Practitioner told me that usually for Buddhists, if someone has passed away, we will tell that someone who has family that passed away will tell that person everything is impermanent, so you just have to understand that's a fact of life. But differently for Christian, they will probably go up to that person, give that person a hug, and try to comfort this person. So from that sense, Christian people are warmer than Buddhists.
确实啊，佛教徒有时候比较理性，比较冷漠，我们必须承认这个事实，所以我们有时候还要学学基督徒，其他外教徒，学人家的慈悲、温暖、柔软。
So it is true, sometimes us Buddhists were a little bit overly analytical, and which may make us colder. And so in that sense, we really need to learn from people from different religions, such as Christians.They seem to have more compassion and they are warmer to each other.
比如说以前师父常常有一句话，四众佛子共勉语，有一句话，勤劳健康最好，那是很好的一句名言了可是当一个人病得很严重的时候，你去跟他说，师父说勤劳健康最好。
So 师父 once said, one of the phrases was, it's the best to be diligent and be healthy.That it's really a blessing. And so, but if someone is sick and you go visit the patient and then you tell them, oh, Shifu told us it's the best to be diligent and to be healthy, do you think that's going to help? That's not an action of compassion.
So, we need to be with anyone in life, but in our lives, we need to think about it in our lives. We need to不是那么用大脑就直接用名言，不用佛法，用师父，用一些高僧的名言，要看状况。众生有八万四千，法门也有八万四千，都用脑很重要的。
So when we interact with people and we are trying to practice Buddhism, still you need to use your brain and think about the situation a little bit more carefully, be more considerate. Don't just throw in some quotes and from some great masters or from the Buddha, you need to assess the situation and provide the most adequate response. Because there are $84,000 doors and you need to address each sentient being's need.
So we don't learn how to use compassion and wisdom to the right amount. For people, for things, the right amount. We never learn. We have a long road to go.
So this kind of learning is unlimited. It can go on forever. How do we adjust wisdom and compassion? How do we make the perfect mix for each sentient beings? It's a lifelong or lifelong learning.
还有人举手哎，好吧，最后一个问题，时间超过太多了，还
one
more question， quick question， OK。
把这刚才说了，就是我们佛教也叫做佛，天主教也叫叫
热情。
热情。我想，因为在佛教中有三教的初念组，那么初念组里面呢，如果在我们中间选，我们也来给他放的话，可以呢把这来给他开始，那么就要做了我们的初念，这是我们做到最大的关怀。
是。
所以我想呢，我们人就很配合，每个宗教它是有特色。但我们也不能说他比较文化的比较一点。
不，这个是昨天一个姑娘，他跟我讲的，所以有人这样子反应，他的感受是这个样子的。那这种情况其实在我们日常生活中很多人都会遇到，所以我把它 bring up 来说一下。有些佛教徒确实就是不是很清楚应该怎么样去对人慈悲。我并不是说佛教比较有智慧，基督教比较有慈悲，我是说佛教徒跟佛教很不一样，基督徒不是说基督教，一般来说确实佛教徒表现起来好像是比较有智慧一点，好像基督徒比较慈悲一点，大致上我们是可以做这种比较的，但是我们其实佛教里头有很强的很深的慈悲的精神，我们要把它发挥出来，并不是我们没有，只是好像现象上有时候我们运用的处理上不太很好，那正好借用外教徒的一种表现，可以把我们佛教的那种慈悲把它更发展出来，我们佛法里头的特色更把它掌握好，是这个意思。
So the comment earlier was that we shouldn't compare Buddhism and Christianity. The comparison itself may not be adequate. But Fa Shi says, the reason why I brought up this example, because it was just recently mentioned to me yesterday, that there's this kind of phenomenon. I'm not trying to say that Buddha Dharma itself, Buddhism itself is less good, is not as good as Christianity. All I'm saying is in practice, Buddhists,and Christians, the way they embody the teaching may be a little bit different. There are some Buddhists, when they practice wisdom and compassion, they are very thoughtful, and they appear to be, to think more with their head, and they are not embodying all the deep compassion that Buddha has been teaching. So that's why I mentioned this point, that we need to think deeper and also practice the compassionate dimension of Buddhism.
其实有很多佛教徒是非常慈悲的，他们的慈悲真的很深刻，我甚至认为佛教徒的慈悲应该可以超过所有的宗教才对，应该是这样子，只是在学习的过程中有时候我们会有一点偏颇。
So there are actually some great Buddhists, some great practitioners, they are extremely compassionate, and the kind of compassion they are able to exudeexceed any other religion. It's most profound and ultimate. It's just that before we reach that kind of level when we're practicing, sometimes we will go a little bit off and lean a little bit more toward analytical and thinking. So we should have a good balance between wisdom and compassion.
是啊，我们福智慧跟慈悲修到最后是福慧两足才成佛嘛。那这个福慧两足，我认为大概就是成佛才有办法。你说上帝他福慧两足吗？好像也不是这样子嘛，哈。所以我们要当佛教徒，不是当基督徒嘛，哈。我选择当出家人，佛教的出家人，不当修女嘛，哈。
So ultimately, we have to have a good balance and fulfill both the domain of wisdom and compassion in order to reach Buddha, right?Buddha is complete in both aspects, compassion and wisdom. We don't know whether God has both, but since I, Fa Shi, has chosen to become a Buddhist, that's why that shows I fully believe in his teaching.
I become a Buddhist nun, not a Catholic nun. 很好，谢谢无贵礼菩萨把这个问题提出来，所以我就可以讲得更清楚一点。谢谢，这是功德啊，代众生请问。
Thank you for the comment that helps me to clarify my point.
好，今天我们不能再接受问题了，已经超过很久了。好，谢谢诸位菩萨，祝福大家福慧增长，
早日成佛。We should quickly attain Buddha and the all of wisdom and compassion.
等一下我们上供之后，请大家留下来，有空来用午餐。今天下午两点钟，我们还有一个
地藏法会，
也欢迎诸位留下来参加。阿弥陀佛。
There's a verse for sutra Dharma gallery this afternoon, so we welcome everyone to stay for lunch and then stay for the Dharma gallery later. Thank you.
各位请起立 please rise.